Hola, hello, hi, bienvenido, and welcome back or welcome to Mentors Today. It's me, Rob Ryan, and I am super excited to have one of my good friends here in Los Angeles with us today, Shireen Loraz Salemia, who is the founder and CEO of Playworks, but I just know her as one of my great Twitter friends turned real life friends who I have had the privilege of hanging out with and getting to know over the last 2-3 years here in the entrepreneurial economy in Los Angeles. She's had a remarkable journey, and it's funny, I laugh because we wrote this very detailed description in the script. The truth is, like, I think this every time I see her is like the depth and breadth of the things that Shireen has worked on over the course of her career is really incredible, and it really informs her ability to understand like what she's working on now and why I'm always so adamant about telling people about her story when I hear that they're interested in the areas that she's playing in. But it also just makes her a really interesting person because she's left a significant impact professionally and personally across the whole spectrum of media, entertainment, marketing, and childhood development. She is lives here in Los Angeles, as I said. She's the CEO of Playworks. It's an interactive media company that has earned a reputation for creating high-quality, innovative, multi-platform, interactive experiences that inspire, empower, and engage both children and adults. And then she's also jumped in to offer her value to the world in a new way, taking on the role of an advisor at The North, or I'm going to say The North Group, or The North, which is an organization run by the Female Founder Collective. And she is available there. You can reach out to her there and get personalized consultations and tap into her big brain in a variety of ways to help support your entrepreneurial journey. Before founding Playworks, though, she spent several years as a research manager, and she'll correct me if any of our research is incorrect here, but, and the brand manager for Bratz? Is that that's the product name? It was Bratz?
That's right, the Bratz.
Well, then that was like a super popular toy brand back in the day.
It was, yeah. It was the height of my time there. Yeah, absolutely.
And so you were doing that at MGA Entertainment, where you blended your expertise in child and youth marketing with a deep understanding of the toy industry. Played a pivotal role while there in helping build out the MGA Play Lab, which is a unique space for in-house qualitative research with children and their parents. Her journey into the toy industry began way back when at Mattel. We all know Mattel, where she worked in worldwide consumer research in the, boy, talk about a timely thing to have worked on this summer, right? The Barbie girls division. Boy, oh boy, you get lots of opinions, I bet, about the Barbie movie this summer.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a Bachelor of Science degree in Child, Family, and Consumer Sciences from Cal State Northridge. And this is one of the things that endears Shireen to me and our friendship, and it just, she's so passionate, and she gives so much of herself to the community, maybe sometimes too much of herself to the community, but she's involved in a variety of organizations and initiatives locally: Women in Gaming, the LA Film School Video Game Department, Girls in Tech, Women in Film, Next Gen Femmes, and the Entertainment Division of the Jewish Federation, and in fact, even, and you could, I'd love to learn more about this, at one point in your past, served as the president of the, and I might mispronounce this, Hadassah, Southern California Vanguard 2, which was a charitable organization dedicated to raising funds for the Hadassah Hospital back in Israel. So Shireen, buddy, welcome. Welcome to Mentors Today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. This is really exciting. And I'm so happy that we are doing this today.
It's a different way for you and I to have a conversation.
It is, but I'm all about it. It's the new wave of the future.
Right. I said to someone yesterday, not related to our podcast, but just talking about podcasts in general. And I said, it's an incredible way to kind of put your personal resume out there. Right. If used creatively after the fact, which a lot of our guests do, you know, you can take not just the content, but literally it's you. I mean, it's you and I talking about your story. It's a way to say like, oh, if you'd like to get to know me, or as I always do when somebody says, hey, who should I meet about like childhood research and development? I'm like, oh, my friend Shireen, like here. Now, next week, starting next week, I'll be like, here, I'll send you the link to the episode. Go listen, go get to know her before you reach out. So
no, it's awesome. I think LinkedIn is great and all those things are great, but I think actually hearing someone and seeing them and really hearing about them and their vibe and their journey is really a big difference. And I think that's why podcasting is big nowadays, because you really get to dive into people's like journeys and stories and like lifelong missions, really.
100%. So let's do that. Let's dive right in. What's your story, my friend? How did we get to this point where you and I met during the pandemic online and then became in real life friends? Like, you've been all over the entertainment and marketing industries here in Los Angeles for a long time. Like, what's your life story?
I have. Okay, so let me start from the beginning, I guess, because people usually ask me where I'm from. And I usually make a joke and I say, I came to LA on a magic carpet ride. It was a one-way ticket and there's no going back. So take a wild guess where I'm from. And people usually say all kinds of things. And I keep saying, look, I gave you a big clue. Magic carpet. Come on, magic carpet. And it's a one-way ticket. And this place has been in the news way too many times I can speak about. And I'm not going to talk about it. So take a wild guess. So maybe if one of your listeners wants to guess an email or text me or whatever, like, I'll give them some kind of prize. Like, yeah.
There we go.
That's how it started. And I've been here since I was 2, came to the States, been in LA. And I feel like LA is home. Like, I've been here way too long. I've traveled a ton for many things, work, fun, overseas, not overseas, all the things. And I just feel like my journey really, really starts when I was in elementary school. And I grew up in Westwood, so down the street from that school, UCLA. And I can say that because I also used to teach at USC, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. So there was that. I'm sure everybody knows about that whole rivalry situation.
Yeah.
So elementary school is where my life really took a turn. I had a female computer science teacher in the 3rd grade. She taught me how to code Fortran, and that really changed my life, I think, back then, because I was on an Apple IIc green screen. I know you can probably see my white hairs now, but I'm aging myself. So yeah, 80s, I had female computer science teacher that was blonde, very hip and cool, like fashionable. And we learned Fortran every day on an Apple IIc green screen computer. And we played Carmen Sandiego as well in that class. And that was literally every single day. And I think if I didn't watch the movie Big, I was probably obsessed with that, because at home I had Atari and Nintendo, and I was always into like video games and techie. Like with my brother, I would like play Transformers, and we would like fight over the Autobots and the Decepticons. And then I was also watching it on, you know, animated series. So I was into that. But I also had my Barbie, which obviously I am not blonde and I never was, never will be. But hey, Barbie was blonde at the time. So that's what I played with as well. So I had a good mix of all the things as a child. And like I said, the movie Big really changed my life. I was obsessed. Everyone, I would walk around and say, I want to be like Tom Hanks in the movie Big. And people thought I was nuts. They were like, are you serious? Is that a real job? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, I was like, I don't know. Mattel's only a Fortune 500 company. It's like an imagination in my head. Like, that's all. They're like, no, seriously. Like, tell us for real. I'm like, real, for real. Like,
yeah.
And you know, so I guess I'll give it away. So being Persian, it was always, you have to be a doctor or a lawyer or a dentist or a pharmacist or like, you know, the typical things. And I was always like, oh, hell no. Like, I want to be me. And being me is being kind of outside the box. And that's what I want to do. I want to be a toy tester.
I mean, it sounds like a childhood dream job, right? Like, it's like we would all say we want to be toy testers. But you were serious. Like, you were like, this is as dead serious as like my friend who says he wants to be an astronaut, or my friend who says she wants to be a rocket scientist, or
absolutely,
my friend who says she wants to be a police person. Like you were like, I want to be a toy tester.
Oh yeah. I was like gung ho. And I had so many people trying to dissuade me, my parents, family, friends. My friends in college were like going to school at UCLA, psychobio, different majors, all the things. And I was like, no, that's what I want to do. And by the way, when I went to Cal State Northridge, they had a play lab. Well, it was really like a kindergarten, that they had a room where they had a one-way mirror and you had to developmentally follow these kids and write research reports. So it's very similar to what I did at Mattel and started at MGA.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got that training. What do you mean? That's like for real. It's not a joke. Like, it's real. And even at Cal State Northridge, at the Career Center, I got a lot of shit from, you know, those people there, because they were like, in your major, people come back and get a child psych degree, master's, PhD. They work at a school, work at a hospital, start a clinic. Like, we never ever heard anybody say child toy tester. Like, what the hell? Like, so they made me fill out this Myers-Briggs. And I thought that was obnoxious because I was like so focused and so gung-ho. And I've always been that way.
Yeah.
So the Myers-Briggs, I kind of threw it. I was like, this is bullshit. But I did it anyways, just to see what comes out. And the next day I went back and they're like, huge discrepancy between what you told us and what came out in this Myers-Briggs. And I was like, this is bullshit. Like, I don't trust this shit. Like, I'm telling you exactly what I want. I'm envisioning it. Right. I can see myself working at Mattel or like at Hasbro, but I wasn't going to move to Rhode Island. So
good. That was, so Mattel was here. Hasbro was on the East Coast.
Rhode Island. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm not moving to Rhode Island. Not my jam, but Hasbro's cool. Like, Transformers started at Hasbro, right? Like,
yeah, good company, just wrong state.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so that's how it started. So the Myers-Briggs, the next day I went back and the careers counselor was like, look, she put a red, huge post-it with like red block letters. And she was like, huge discrepancy, like, alert, alert. And I was like, I don't give a hell. Like, I don't care what you say, like, whatever. So like, I was like scrolling through this paper, and at the end it said two things that I was meant to do. And guess what those two things were?
If one of them was toy tester, I'm going to literally laugh out loud.
No. I found this a couple years ago and I had to move, and I literally almost fell out of the chair because I totally forgot about this. I blocked it out because it was literally like, I'm walking around saying toy tester, and everyone around me, parents, family, friends. I only had one professor in college that I'm still close with that was like my champion, that was like, we're going to make this happen. The rest were like, it was me against everyone.
Yeah.
So the two things were business and technology that came out in this Myers-Briggs, right? And at the time, I was like, screw this shit. Like, I don't care. But now I was like, holy shit, that was a sign.
Right.
The stuff that I do now. So it was clearly like a forebearing of what's to come. And that's why I call my journey being on the tech yellow brick road, because all the signs and messages have been there, but I've never really like paid attention.
You've also, by the way, just dropped more like fairy tale literature references than ever in the first 15 minutes of one of our shows when we talked about a magic carpet ride and the yellow brick road. So this is just keep it up. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, this is my journey. I can't change it.
let me inject if I can, just to give some context into our friendship. My sense of you, since we've gotten to know each other, is there's nothing like muted about your personality, right? Like everything about you just jumps off when you meet someone. And so I can tell our audience that is listening, that if they could visualize someone who has like a flamboyant style, is stylish, is always very colorful. I mean, in literally like down to the tennis shoes that match the jacket, but it's not just like any jacket. It's like a really shiny, sparkly jacket, right? Or it's a bedazzled jacket that is like super appropriate for the environment, but it's everything about you stands out, right? But in the best possible way. But then when you talk to you and you get to know you, the thing that has jumped out to me, and it's why you become a reference point when people ask me about certain industries or topics, and I'm like, man, you got to talk to her, because you have exactly what both you were aspiring to and what the Myers-Briggs test was saying is inside of you, like intellectually and emotionally. Like, you are this unique in this town, which is driven by the entertainment industry and content and all this storytelling. You have this unique confluence of skills and awareness. Like, you think about tech and you think about the business applications of it, and you think about the market and the users and the user experience, but you also think about like video games, and you think about coding, and you think about TV and film, and you and I, some of our conversations, honestly, you've probably thought sometimes it's been like selfless, like I've been giving up my time to talk to you about something you wanted to talk about. And really, I hang up with our calls or when we see each other in person, and it's super selfish, because I walk away like completely inspired, because you are this kind of cross section of really interesting things that you not aren't just like interested in, but that you work in. So it's cool for me to hear the origin story that basically just validates that what I've thought about you has been 100% accurate.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. I think that's fascinating. But also, so there was a couple of things that I was really passionate about. Obviously, toys as a kid, video games. Fashion was always a big one. So it's interesting you brought up fashion, because I do want to do a line. And I did some of those jackets I've created for Whiz Girls that we're going to sell soon. But all of it has been like top of mind. And I think it was like, I had to go to Mattel to learn the business of kids and how that works, right? And so I did that. That's a funny story of how I actually got into the Mattel, because there was no Google at the time. We barely had email. Like, as I was graduating in the late 90s, we were barely getting email. I was just doing like meetups in my head of like going to the library and figuring out, okay, who should I talk to? that is at Mattel, or who should I talk to in the toy industry, or are there toy industry groups or meetups or whatever. So I was doing that, and also went to a UCLA job fair, which I thought was really interesting because I met with a couple different companies and then one recruiting firm that was in Manhattan Beach. And this, whenever I tell this story, everybody goes crazy because like I ended up with 8 different people from this recruiting firm. And then they all said, oh, you should come to our office and meet with our owner, which is the president of this firm, which is really down the street from Mattel, literally. So I ended up going, which was interesting. And I walk in and I sit down and she says, oh, college students that graduate, they don't know their right hand from their left hand. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I'm telling you exactly what I want, woman. Like, I've done my research. It's either Mattel or Hasbro. They're the only ones that have consumer research departments. All the other toy companies are way too small. They outsource research, or they don't, whatever. She's like, oh no, college students that graduate, they don't know where their right hand from their left hand. I'm like, I'm not any college student, honey. Like, I know exactly what I want. Just get me the thing. And then she's like, oh, I have a great job. It's at Jack's Pacific. It's a toy company right on PCH. It's a beautiful location. I'm like, that sounds wonderful. Do they have a research department? And she goes, no. She goes, no, you just need to get your foot in the door. It's a customer service position. It's perfect for you. I'm like, that's a dead-end job, honey. Like, no, thank you. Like, I'm not interested. And she pissed me off so bad. I actually drove to Mattel on my way back. And I was like, walked up to the security guard and I said, can you get me someone in the HR department? And he goes, do you have a meeting? And I said, no. And I said, I actually sent in my resume. I got a postcard in the mail. That's like vacation. I don't want vacation. I want to work here. Like, get me someone live to talk to you. And he goes, here, call our job hotline. And I'm like, I'm here now. Can you just get me someone to talk to? Because I really want to work here. And this woman pissed me off so bad. I was like, dude.
You were fired up. Despite all that anger at the recruiting woman down the street into this, like, I'm going to get this security guard. He's going to get me in there.
Yeah. And he was like, sorry, ma'am. I can't help you. This is a high secure building. I was like, whoever's watching me, you'll remember when I come back here and get a job. Like, I was like, this is me. Like, I will be here. Yeah, it was wild.
So determined.
Yeah. So basically what happened was, I guess, a couple of things. I found out there was like a meetup group with this guy. At the time, there was like a, like Chuck E. Cheese for older kids. I think it was called Game something or another. I'll have to look it up. Anyways, I remember the guy that ran it was really awesome. He was a big time game, video game guy, but he also was toys. So I met with him and he had some people there that I could meet, which was great. So we kind of mingled and mixed like meetup style.
And this is like 20, 21 year old you.
Oh yeah. This is like
right out of college.
Yeah. So So one of them said, why don't you try Otis? And I was like, Otis, what's that? And I found out Otis is a school right by Mattel and by LAX in Westchester. That's an art school. And they have a toy design program. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I love design. I love creative. I love that stuff. Why not? I'll try to do that. That sounds cool. So I called up the chairperson at Otis, the head of the toy design program. And I said, I want to come meet you because I want to talk about toy design and like being a toy tester and da da da. He's like, sure, come to my office. So I went. This guy had toys everywhere. I was like walking into Toys R Us in his office. He was wearing Gucci jeans, super highly dressed, very fancy, very like fashionable. He looked like a runway model too. I was like, okay, I'm in heaven. Like, bring it on. Like, this is perfect. I said, do you have a master's program? Because I just graduated literally with a bachelor's. And he was like, no, unfortunately, we just have a bachelor's. And I said, well, yeah, I'm super creative and it's art. But like, I can't go back to school right now again, right back to back. It's just like too much. Like, what do you recommend? He said, why don't you call my friend? He's the head of research. Tell him that you met with me. Ask him for an informational interview and take him out for lunch. So I called Michael and he picked up the phone. His assistant didn't, which was, I think, a miracle of all miracles. And I said, Martin from Otis told me to call you because I would love to take you out for lunch and learn about your job and for an informational interview. And he was like, okay, great. So when do you want to come? And I said, whenever you're free. He's like, I don't have time for lunch, but just come to my office and we'll chat. I said, okay, cool. So I walk in, security guard was the same one. I said, I'm in now, thank you very much. Call Michael's office and tell him I'm here. Like, haha. And he looked at me like, well, I said, see, I told you I was going to come back.
He was toggling between putting you on like the no entry list and like the his favorite future employee list.
The crazy psychotic one, yes. Yeah. So I walked in and I shook Michael's hand and I gave him a business card and he looked at me and he goes, you just graduated from college and you handed me a business card with a link to your resume on it. That's super innovative. You're an entrepreneur. And I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I just thought it was cool too. Yes. And I've always been outside the box, but like, I'm here to talk about being like Tom Hanks in the movie Big. I want to hear your story. And I want to, you know, I didn't ask him for a job right then and there. And he would not stop for 10 minutes. He was like, this is really cool. I've never seen anything like it. You're an innovative entrepreneur. Like, blah, 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 blah. He would not stop. And I was like, no, focus, focus. I'm here to get a job. Now you're going to forget about this entrepreneur stuff. Like, no. So that was like second sign, right? So the first one was obviously the Myers-Briggs. And this was the second, like, business and tech. And now I have like innovative entrepreneur. So these are like, you know, my journey. Again, I go on the tech yellow brick road.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so we talked for an hour and then at the end I asked him for a job and he said, unfortunately, we're not in a good position right now because our CEO had just been ousted and they hadn't found Bob Eckert yet. And at the time, for 20 years when I was there, I heard we were never, ever, ever going to do a live action movie for Barbie. So this has been fascinating to see all this stuff happen literally 20 years forward. Yeah, so never say never, right? But yeah, so I basically asked him for a job at the end and he kept saying, no, unfortunately, we don't have a position, but I'll keep you in mind. You know, cool. Great to meet you. Awesome. Okay. So I basically kept in touch with him for 9 months. I sent letters. I sent thank you card. I sent gift baskets for the holidays. I went to the toy fair on my own right before I went to Toy Fair in New York. And by the way, this is not something everybody can do. Like, Toy Fair is something where you have to be in the industry to go. So I figured out a way to go. And I went. And right before I went, he said, why don't you come meet my team in LA before you go to New York? And then he kept saying, oh, by the way, you know, there's no jobs in New York, right? Ha ha ha. And I was like, yeah, but who gets a chance to go to Toy Fair? And by the way, like 8 out of 10 people that you had me meet with were like, we don't even want to be in the toy business. We want to be in music. We want to be in movies, whatever. Like, these people are keeping me from my job. Like, I don't know what that's going to
do. You're like, I've made a list already of the people eventually you need to let go because I can fulfill their positions.
Yeah. So I ended up staying in New York for a couple months just because I have family there too. And he calls me one day and he says, how was Toy Fair? And I said, great. Do you want me to write a report? Because I have like all these things that I found that was really fascinating as a first-time Toy Fair person. He's like, sure, why not? He's like, but we also have people that went to Toy Fair. I'm like, I'm sure, but you know, whatever. And so he says, why don't you come to work on Thursday? And I was like, I'm in New York still. There's a huge snowstorm. There's no flights. Like, are you like, is this for real? Like after 9 months of all this up and down, you know, and da da da. He's like, no, I talked to my team and my boss. We really are so in awe of your grit and passion. And we really could use someone like you in our team and da 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 da. So yeah, we created a position for you as a research assistant to start.
Wow.
And I was like, this is wild because in those 9 months, I got my parent, everyone saying, get a job. Why are you wasting your time? Be a secretary. Like da, 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 all this like crap, right? So yeah.
Cultural norms, just societal norms, like all kinds of things going against you. In a world where so far, like in the arc of this story, I've heard like super inspiring, like stylish, cool, smart middle school teacher who was into coding, right? And then I hear like one college professor who is like, okay, I believe in you, like this. And then you, the oldest guy in like a very fleeting way becomes the door to which then you get to this guy who then this guy is blown away with you. Just doesn't literally have a job, right? Doesn't know what to do with you, but is like blown away with you. It's you know, through the whole journey of our lives, and you're younger than I am, although we're both on the older side of life, right? Like it's three people. It's like three people from your childhood forward against an army of all the people that love you and all the people that raised you and all the people that look out for you and all the people that are your friends and your peers. And that's awesome. That's inspiring.
Yeah. So the first day was like dream come true. Actually, the first year was dream come true. We actually got the Harry Potter license. We got to watch the movie, even though I was in the girls division. We shut down. We're forced to go to the movie theater to watch it because we got the license. SpongeBob license, really cool stuff. Like it was literally dream come true of testing toys with kids downstairs. And like just the whole motions were amazing. Second year was a little tricky. Third year got really, really tricky because they started doing layoffs and people with PhDs were hiding in like closets and like craziness. And I was like, well, I don't have a PhD. But now I hear my boss, which also has a PhD, say, oh, you know, if you want to move up with us, you got to go back to school. And he kept like sprinkling that in my head. And I was like, I don't know about this. Like, it's only been 2-3 years. Like, I'm just new to everything. And at one point, they was just literally, like I said, keeping me in a box, even though he knew, like, I was super outside the box and different. They wouldn't let me go to meetings anymore. Like, everything was, like, really hush-hush and crazy. And meanwhile, like I said, Mr. Cheese was like, oh, we're never doing a live-action Barbie movie. And I was like, you know what? I wish I worked for this guy now, Yunnan Krez, which is the CEO of Mattel now. Because he's so, like, my style, right? Outside the box, different.
Yeah.
I just heard they're doing a Hot Wheels reality show, like Shark Tank. Like, they're doing some really cool stuff, which is right up my alley. So yes, that was kind of like, you know, a thing. And I went from dramatically being super excited and like passionate and gung-ho to like, oh my God, I don't know if I can be here anymore.
You stayed there for how long?
3 years. But I think it was like in the 2.5 mark where shit started hitting the fan. And I was also like freaking out about the whole layoffs and the pink slips and all the things. And keep hearing about like master's degrees and PhDs and all. And one hand, he kept saying, if you're not going to teach, you don't need a master's or a PhD, but then you do. And ironically, like I said, I used to teach at USC and I never went back to school. So that was that. And then also another turning point, which was wild. And I literally can't make up this stuff if I wanted to. It's so crazy. So one Friday, I decide that I'm going to quit my job. And Fridays, because we're close to El Segundo at LAX, we had half day Fridays. So we had to get out of that area because of the traffic. So I tell everyone in my cubicle, I'm like, guys, I love you. And I know you're going to say, like, we have the poster of, because I had the poster of the movie being in my office or my cubicle. I was like, you guys, I know what you're going to say, but I can't do this anymore. I'm going to call Michael and be like, I quit on Monday. Like, I just can't be here anymore. It's just detrimental to my health.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? I was like, they're like, you wanted to be here. What do you mean? I'm like, yeah, it's just not working anymore. So I go home. I used to go to the gym. So the gym by my house was at the time in Century City, Bodies in Motion. And I would kickbox. So that was like my thing, kickboxing. Like I was like gung-ho because like getting aggression out, right? So I walk into the gym and I have my gloves and I have my wraps. And the guy at the front desk is like, what's up, Hot Wheels and Barbie? I'm like, oh no, don't call me that anymore. I'm done. I'm not doing that anymore. Like I'm just done. Just wrap my hands. I need to like let out like all this aggression. So he's like wrapping one hand and then guess who walks in the door at the gym? Like this is unprecedented. Like I still can't believe it to this day, but it actually happened. The kid that played in the movie Big.
Oh, get out.
Like what are the odds, right?
Like another in the checkmark of items that was like the universe steering you towards.
Yeah, exactly. I said, is that who I think it is? And he goes, yeah. And I said, wait a minute. I'm here every day. I've never seen him before. He's like, oh yeah, he's here every day too. I'm like, what are the odds? The day I decide to quit my job, he shows right up. So I walk up to him. I like drop my gloves. I have one hand wrapped. He's looking at me like, I said, do you know what you need me to do? Literally just like this. And he goes, what? I'm like, I test toys at Mattel, just like you and Mr. Tom Hanks at the movie Big. And he's like, what? I'm like, that was my dream job. He's like, no way. Is that a real job? I'm like, yeah. Hello, I've been doing it, but they're keeping me in a box now. I started like going off on him and he was just looking at me like, oh my God, who is this?
He's like, I'm an actor who just, I just read my lines. Like I didn't go to work at Mattel to learn about the job. He's like, I didn't even think it was a real job. I thought it was a character in a story.
It's wild because he looked at me and he said, I really didn't think that was a real job. And meanwhile, I'm like, by the way, are you still acting? He's like, yeah, of course. I was just in this movie with Drew Barrymore, riding in cars with boys. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. Okay. The whole time, this was 2 hours. I ended up not going kickboxing. We're sitting down. He's like, you cannot quit your job. The whole time he was like, can't quit your job. Just can't. Like, you just can't. Like, everything you're telling me, you can't quit your job. And I was like, I just told everybody. Not my boss, thank God, but everybody else, I'm done. I told my parents I'm done. I told everyone. I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's not fun. But you are telling me no. Like, what is going on here? Apparently, it wasn't the time because I ended up leaving. I think it was like 6 to 8 months later and I didn't see him. But I'm friends with him now on Facebook and whatever. But wild, right? So
you stay for a little bit longer.
Stayed a little bit longer.
Eventually jump off the ship and... Did you go from Mattel to MGA?
I did, but in the meantime, I was like, oh, maybe I should go back to school because I keep hearing this. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll go to CSUN again because it's, you know, close to MGA. And I was like, I don't know. Should I do business? Should I do child psych, like, masters? Like, I was kind of dabbling. I was like kind of walking into classes and seeing how I feel.
Because in your heart of hearts, you're like, I really just want to test toys.
Yeah. So I walked in, you know, luckily CSUN was around the corner from MGA, which was, I guess, lucky for me. And I ended up meeting with the owner, which is obviously still the owner. And he tells me in 5 minutes, he's like, I want you to start the research department. We don't have one. And I said, what? Like, really?
Wow.
I was like, okay. So I ended up signing on to do that. And we did that, which was awesome. And then within 6 months, he's like, I want you to be the brand manager for Bratz. And we had just launched the brand officially and it just flew off the shelf. So I was like, this is like 2 full-time jobs, but I call it like my live MBA school for 5 years. Cause that's really
of course.
How I get to do what I do now. So Mattel was like the beginning of like learning everything about kids and brands and Barbie and all the things research, because research is a touch point for
the basic structure of the industry and how it works and why. Yeah.
And MGA was the execution of like actually building like a company within, because like building the Playlab, building the team, building like everything from the ground up.
I mean, you are a little, you're, it's a word I don't toss around lightly because I think it gets really overused in our culture today, but like you're a literal expert in this area. Like you are a literal expert in the nexus of child behavior, child development, toys or entertainment content nowadays, like all those things. And then that is obviously a business that is all wrapped up into business.
Right.
That's incredible. I mean, what a journey. Before we jump forward, one of the things is dropped in a couple of times in the different stories that I don't want to underemphasize is, you know, so you're associated or exposed to the Barbie team, you're on the Bratz team, like you in our life, since I've met you, like I know you as a huge advocate for women, right? Like you're a huge advocate, not just for diversity and inclusiveness in industry and in capital raising and in entrepreneurship and in life, but like even these early days experiences, I mean, you were first and foremost, like you were literally like a really forward pushing young woman when that was not as commonplace, right, by your peers. So you were standing out, not just because of some of the specific examples that you've given that people are like, wow, that's crazy. I can't believe you put your like link on a business card and you're 22 years old. But it was also because you were a woman that was doing that. And then you wind up exposed to these brands. And like you talked about the Barbie, I mean, you could talk about more about that if you'd like, but like, obviously this is the Barbie summer, right, this year, 2023. And it's an incredible story. And like me, I'm a guy, I'm a dad of girl, and I have nieces, and the whole powerful messaging and the subtext of the movie and the story this summer was just incredibly well done. But like you were part of that again 20 years ago, right? So you've been this person that you are now that I meet in today's world that we run across where everybody is talking about inclusivity for women and everybody is talking about equality for women. Like, cause it's cool and hip right now, but like you were just doing it. You were fighting for yourself first and foremost, but you, through that experience, you've laid a path that is really about like blazing some trails for other women, not to put that on your shoulders, but you've done it. Like that's what you've done is like, you are an example to young women and young students. And I'd love you to talk about why that's so important to you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think it's because now that I look back, and it's honestly because my life kind of revolves around movies, ironically, I guess that's just how it is. Like when I saw the movie Hidden Figures and the whole thing with the three women, I was like, how come we never heard this story? And by the way, luckily I was seeing it at a screening at the TV Academy and I was screaming like, oh my God, that's where I first learned how to code Fortran. Like I totally forgot about that. It came together. But I went back to, oh my God, my third grade teacher, female, like it all came back, right? Fortran, that's the coding language I first learned back in the 80s. Like I said, if I didn't watch the movie Big, and by the way, I got to tell you, it's really funny that you say the women thing, because every time I said I want to be like Tom Hanks in movie Big, you don't know how many times I heard, do you want to be a guy? Like, you want to be a guy? And I'm like, I don't care about guys, girls. Like,
the super crucial interpretation of what you were saying. They weren't here. They were hearing what you said, not what you were really saying.
I was like, look, I grew up with empowered women. My female can be, which I guess is very unprecedented because every time I talk about her, like people go crazy. They're like, what? We never had that like in elementary school. That was LAUSD public school. I'm like, yeah, it's wild. And at home, I was watching Wonder Woman, the Linda Carter Wonder Woman, which obviously I'm obsessed with. And you know, like my name for Mayor Garcetti was Wonder Woman of Tech. Like that's a thing. But like Wonder Woman was huge, super empowered. Bionic Woman, like Pippi Longstocking, I was obsessed with. She was a badass female, like around my age, right? Like, so those things didn't really exist anymore for some reason. And then it was like,
right. We had like this, obviously, this, I mean, I'm old enough to like go back to the 70s, kind of the equal rights movement, the Equal Rights Amendment, like, and then it was a thing like kind of in the public discourse for a long time. And as you said, that rode into the early 80s with a lot of those characters showing up on television and movies in prominent ways. And then it disappeared in the Reagan era. Like it disappeared again.
I don't know what happened. Some people say it's because Barbie said math was hard. I wasn't there at the time. I would have killed somebody if I heard that. Like, yeah, I don't know. I really don't understand. Because like for me, it was more about equality because Wonder Woman was always about equality. And Pippi was always like, Annika and her brother, we're always doing this together, right? There was always equality. Like, and my female computer science teacher never pointed a finger and said, you're a girl. You shouldn't do that. We're all girls, boys in this class every single day. And we're doing this together. Like we're all in this together. So I don't understand why we have these things going on now. It's mind boggling to me. Yeah.
But through it, you, and this is a compliment, right? You just lead. You're just you doing you.
Right. Exactly.
In the truest sense. But it also is now again, kind of a renaissance of this issue it is a great shining light for. And again, let's talk about like whether it's Whiz Girls or Playworks, like let's talk about your commitment to the work that you do now, because it really is about, again, all children, all young people, but it is really hyper to empowering young women and women of color, women from diverse backgrounds, like exposing people. I mean, I'm going to go back and say you're kind of almost carrying that torch like your third grade Fortran teacher did, right, in a broader sense. So talk about that. Talk about the work that you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things happened at MGA where I started kind of questioning my existence. One was I got the corner office, I got the toys, I got everything I ever wanted. So I went from small fish in big sea or big fish in small sea. And like now I have the corner office, I got the toys, I got everything I wanted. I got myself a trampoline, everything. But I'm listening to parents come in and complain about how they're not positive role models. Barbie and Bratz aren't positive role models every single day in focus groups. And even in a social setting, I heard Spider-Man was evil. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't even have to do anything with Spider-Man. So this is getting way out of hand. Like there's something wrong with this picture. So that was happening every day. And I was, again, getting the itch of like, okay, now it's 5 years I'm at MGA, but I'm noticing like now YouTube has come out and all of a sudden girls are really into YouTube. Like it's a thing. And now like Club Penguin is a thing and they sold it to Disney for $650 million. Obviously they didn't make the milestone for the full thing. Like Neopets, all of a sudden, I just watched a Beanie Babies movie on Apple. I don't know if you've seen it. I highly recommend it.
I haven't saved. I haven't watched it yet.
You gotta watch it. But people were calling my office for Beanie Babies. And I'm like, we sell Bratz. And like, I don't know what is going on here. Like it was just a little bit too much. So I started questioning my existence, and this is me in my late 20s, like, what is happening here? Like, what I thought I wanted to be like Tom Hanks. I got the poster now in my office. I got it.
I thought this is what I wanted to do for life. Now what?
Yeah. Right. Like huge questioning my existence to the point of I was doing life coaching program. I was doing raw food and like, I don't cook, but I was taking cooking classes for raw food. I was like doing all these different things to figure out what's next. Reading books like The Alchemist and Celestine Prophecy and like really searching for meaning and purpose. Cause I was like, I thought that's what I wanted, but I don't know what's happening. Cause now I get sick going to work. I hate it. It's not fun anymore. Like even if it's in a social setting, one more parent says something negative about what I'm going to throw something about at them. Like I helped one evolve, but I didn't create any of them. And I really regret never meeting Ruth Handler. I wish I did. Like that would have been phenomenal.
And so in your own day-to-day life, like you're like the toy person and everybody's throwing anything they think about toys, good, bad, or indifferent on you 24/7. And you're like, I just wanted to be the toy tester. Like, I wanted to figure out what kids like and why they like it and build that for them.
Yeah, exactly. And give them what they wanted and, you know, not go through the commotions of like politics and whatever in corporate America.
You are now the toy executive, no longer the toy tester.
Yeah, well, because now, like, we have, well, let's say the kids wanted this, right? And I'm like, the kids said they wanted it just like this. Oh, no, we don't have a budget for that. We don't have this. We don't, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why do we test it if we're not going to do it? Like, does that make sense to you? Like, exactly in that scene with Tom Hanks when he says, this is what the kids wanted. Like, why? Oh no, we can't. And I'm like, why are we, you're wasting my time and our money of like doing research here in Kansas City or whatever. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Right. So yes, I really pulled the plug and I had super serious existential crisis to the point of, I did all those things. And one day I was like, okay, I'm going to go. I went on a business trip and mom picks me up from the airport and she's like, we're going to this event. And I said, what is this event? She's like, it's a charity thing. And I said, I'm exhausted. I'm jet lagged. Can we just go home? She drags me to this event and the keynote speaker at the time, this is 2005, was Deepak Chopra. I didn't know who he was. I had no idea. So I run up to him after his talk and I'm like, oh my God, like in my head, I'm like, this is the guy that's going to answer my question. Cause I've been searching for like a few, like 2 years now. And I'm trying to figure out what's next. And like, he's going to answer it. Cause he said all this stuff. Like, I get it. So I ran up to him and I said, I have a big question. And he said, what is it? And I said, well, maybe it could be a $1 billion question. Haha. He's laughing. I said, okay. So what do you do when you get your dream? Cause I don't know what to do with myself. And he was like, you have to give back. And I said, I volunteer my time. I give money to charity. I do all those things. What do you mean give back? So he kept saying give back. And I was like, can you tell me give back to who, what, where, like another word, please. He was like, no, trust me. You'll figure it out. I was like, come on, you can't leave me hanging. This is like a dangling carrot. Like, that's not cool. Like, so that was my first clue. And then again, back on this tech yellow brick road journey, I found out this guy, Simon Sinek, had just written this book called Start With Why. And I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. One of my best friend's ex-boyfriends was running EO at the time. I didn't know that he was running EO, and EO is Entrepreneurs Organization. So I show up at this event with, which actually used to be a really big deal because it was, you know, Cam and her husband at the time that started the first co-working space in LA, Co-Loft. And this, the Simon Sinek's book signing was there. So I show up, I don't know, my best friend's ex-boyfriend is running this whole thing. I just show up because I'm like, oh, this sounds interesting. Start with why. Maybe this will help me, like, you know, whatever. So run into him serendipitously. And then like I meet Cam and her ex and whatever. And like just this whole thing. And then Simon does his talk. And the same thing with Deepak. I did the same thing with Simon. I ran up and I said, what do you do when you get your dream? And he turns to me and he goes, what's your purpose and why? And I'm like, why are these people all stumping me? Like, this is not fair.
Like, you're like, I just watched the president. I saw the flip charts. Like, I get it. I get the question. I'm asking you. I need the answer.
Come on. Like, so he gives me this coin that he made for that book. And like, it's a thing. I mean, he just started too. So it was before he made it.
I would imagine this is when he was still literally using like the flip charts with his red marker, right? Like, this
So this is like 2006 or something like that. So yeah, so those were my two clues. Now I got like give back, start with why, or what's my purpose and why. And I read that book and I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere. And then sequence of events led to people that I met came into my life specifically for messages. So the first one was this woman that I ran into when I was doing the raw food thing in Venice, and Main Street doesn't exist anymore, but there was no place to sit. And at the time I was doing the cooking classes, but like I was supposed to meet somebody else. That person shows up 45 minutes late. There's no place to sit. Literally, I'm there every weekend. But on this weekend, there's only one place to sit with this woman. And she's like dragging me to sit down. So I sit down. And she looks at me and she goes, I'm a single mom from France. Like, it's really hard to raise kids in America. I have a son. He's 9 years old. And then she also starts going off. Spider-Man is evil. Like, she starts going off. And I'm like, ah. And then she's like, you need to make educational toys. And I'm like, what? Like, I was looking around like, who are you talking about? You don't even know who the hell I am. Yeah. Like, seriously? Like, so that was another clue. Okay, so I got give back, what's my purpose and why, educational toys. So I'm like connecting the dots going forward. You know how Steve Jobs says, you know, in that commencement speech, connect the dots in hindsight with calligraphy and da da da. Oh no, I didn't have time for that. I was like, okay, I got, like, what's next? And then I won't bore you because it's long, but I will write a book about it. And so the next person was writing a book for boys about physics and science. And he was really, really, really super passionate about science for boys. And like, we're having this conversation and for coffee, and he looks at me and he goes, I just had an amazing meeting to do option the rights for my book for a movie. And I said, that's wonderful. Like, who did you meet with? He's like, guess who the director was? I'm like, I don't know. I literally almost fell out of the chair when he said this. He goes, do you know who Gary Marshall is? I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, do you know that Gary Marshall did the movie Big? And like, I look at his name every single freaking day. So like, he's still talking. I'm like checking out and I'm like, wait a minute. science for boys. I need to do science for girls. I had to look at stats. Like, all the stuff started, like, ding, 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 ding. Like, and I was like, holy crap. Like, this is wild. So, yeah. Wow. So that was my, I guess, transition into what I do now with
players. And again, a series of 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, we're up to, like, 6, 7 people, 8 people, right? That we either, that you're exposed to as a child, your teacher, or that you, let's just say, like, you bump off of in the universe, like a Deepak Chopra at an event or a Simon Sinek at a first book signing before he becomes Simon Sinek, like, you know, or this woman who you next, like, that's just, those are people I just call where you bump off of them in the universe. Like, we're outside, because we're outside in the world, we just bump off of them, right? And it's what you take away from those moments when you needed to take things away because you were, like, actively seeking answers, right? You had your general direction and you had literally, as you said, you had already grabbed the, you know, golden ring or whatever reference point we want to use. Like, so you thought, like, your life should have been, like, done and dusted and just ridden that corner office full of toys out for the next 40 years of your life, and then realized that that wasn't going to be the case. And then yet it all ties itself forward to why, when we talk now, like, you're so passionate about, you're not even passionate, that doesn't even do the energy that you bring sometimes to service. Like, you're indefatigable.
Oh, wow.
You are, like, just unable to be defeated by the obstacles or limitations around you. You're determined, you're passionate. But now that I'm hearing the totality of your story, it's, like, not surprising at all, the conversations we've had, right? Because now I know, like, you're on a path that is not to be denied. And it's just a matter of timing, luck, circumstance, and then bumping off of the right people at the right moments in the universe to just enable you to make these things happen.
Right.
You're destined to make these things happen. If you were a female superhero, it would be like a line in the story that says, like, you were destined to become this.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's ironic that, you know, Mayor Garcetti called me the Wonder Woman of tech, because, like, yeah, everyone thinks I look like Gal Gadot. I'm like, actually, I'm older, so she looks like me. Like, that's king.
Hey, listeners that are just listening, she has an awesome Wonder Woman coffee mug that she's sipping out of.
Yeah, and you know, I have my necklace and my ring. So, like, I've always been, like, obsessed with Wonder Woman. So being that Wonder Woman of tech, I guess, is very apropos.
And so you work in this space now where you do, and I'm just going to, like, high level, like, you do all kinds of things. I mean, you literally produce and create a myriad of experiences for young people related to this nexus of tech and video and audio and experiential tools and all these games and toys, all this stuff, right? Like, and you do it under the umbrella of Playworks.
Right.
Then you've got now, I know Whiz Girls is kind of like a new part of this puzzle. So why don't you talk about what Playworks is and then talk about Whiz Girls?
Sure. So Playworks is a company like Mattel, like MGA. And after all those things and connecting the dots moving forward, I realized that I had to start my company. And my inspiration was going back to my childhood gaming, which was Carmen Sandiego. And I was like, why can't I build something that's gaming focused like Carmen Sandiego, but science and STEM? So that's actually what Whiz Girls is. And we're in beta on the game, so we're not officially launched yet. If I knew it would take forever to build a game from scratch, I probably wouldn't have done it. But since you know my journey and, like, I'm like, 9 months is the cutoff, this has taken way longer than 9 months, but I'm like, I'm still going. So that's, you know, to be, like, soon, stay tuned for that. And throughout that journey, Whiz Girls Academy came because, so Whiz Girls is the brand, like Barbie and Bratz. And Whiz Girls' goal is to get girls excited about STEM through gaming, through the lifestyle tech brand that I'm building. And I'm going to do everything that I used to do for Barbie and Bratz, minus the doll. So, like, I have, you know, a couple of the jackets that I made that people want, that I've been wearing the glitzy ones. I would like to do a book series, like all the things that I used to do, basically. So Whiz Girls Academy came actually accidentally, and I never, ever imagined it. But I kind of joked around because I used to live in Brentwood, and President Obama would come down my street, which is Barrington. Literally, I would walk out when it was Barrington and they would shut the street down. So at the time I had just started Playworks and he was just newly elected. And I just kept hearing that he wants, like, STEM focused minority, female founder, startup, like he's all about tech, like all of those things. And I kept joking to my friends and family. I kept saying, I'm going to go hold a sign that says, everything, like put boxes on everything he says. And by the way, I'm here ready to help. Like, hello.
I'm literally on the street that you're driving down with your mother kid.
Yeah. So I never did it because I was like, these Secret Service people are probably going to be like this crazy, like terrorist Persian girl. Like,
Secret Service guys might not treat you as nicely as the Mattel security guard did back in the day.
I was like, I don't want to get arrested in front of my house. Like, this is embarrassing. Like, I'm not going to do it. But I kept joking and I kept saying, look, literally every day I hear huge STEM. They have an office in tech policy at the White House. Like, there's a CTO. Like, there's all these things happening. Like, so how do I get connected? So I just kept putting it out there. And wild, I guess I manifested it. Like, I don't know how long ago after this was. I have to go back and look at emails. But, like, I get an email at the time. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz was the head of the DNC. And she emailed me and she said, we're in LA and we're doing this event. And would I like to go? And I said, sure. So I go. And the whole time she's like, we need you at the White House. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. So I ended up getting connected to the White House, and they asked me to do a hackathon. And I was like, wait a minute, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm bootstrapping a tech startup. I don't know what you're talking about. Like,
but in their minds, they were like, somebody had put on a meeting agenda, like, do hackathons for kids. And then they catch you and they're like, okay, but she's the person that can help. Like, she gets it. And then we'll just have her do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though, like, you didn't pitch that idea, they basically had the idea, and then they find you and they marry the two together.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And so now I resisted them for 9 months because, like, the first time we went to the White House, it was phenomenal. It was like a dream come true. It was insane. If I was a child, and you told me I would have been invited to the White House for something that I do, it was like wild. But yes, I got pulled into the Tech for Obama re-election and speaking for those panels and all the things. And they kept saying, you got to do coding. And every time a parent ran up to me after I spoke somewhere, they were like, you got to teach my kids how to code. I was like, wait a minute. There's like girls who code, black girls code. There's all these programs. Like, I can't just do another one. And by the way, I don't have the bandwidth, the time, or the resources, because I'm already up to my ears with building a game from scratch with all of the elements and the layers and, like, finding people, hiring, like, you know, all the things, right? Of a startup, right? A tech startup.
Sure.
So yeah, 9 months, I resisted until finally one day they called and they said, okay, well, we're going to do this hackathon. It's going to be a city hackathon. It's going to be huge. We're going to be live with the CTO of the White House at the time, which was Todd Park, and the mobile head, which was Brian, I don't remember his last name, but they were in cahoots. And the guy, Jack Dorsey from Twitter, was going to be a judge, and Dina Davis was going to be a judge, and it was going to be like a thing. And I was like, when are we doing this? And they're like, we don't know yet, but we'll tell you as soon as we launch the date. Okay, so days pass, months pass. Like, what's happening? Are we doing this? Like, I need to know. Now it's like New Year's? Or no, it was Christmas. It was Christmas. And they're like, okay, we're gonna tell you next steps in a few days. And I'm like, okay. So, like, we had 4 days, right? Literally after New Year's or before New Year. It was like between.
In that in between.
Yeah. So, you know, that time is like the holiday season and nobody wants to do anything and everyone's basically checked out. So magically, we put together a hackathon at Cross Campus, which was the first ever Cross Campus in Santa Monica for them. And we had 80 people show up. Half of them were like my Girl Scouts because they were beta testers for the game. And then we had all my friends in the tech industry. So the guys came to help the girls. It was a magical experience. So yeah, 80 people showed up with such short notice and magical. And yeah, ever since then, like every time I turn around, parents would be like, please, coding, coding, coding. And I'll never forget this. When I was teaching at USC, this woman stops me in the middle of the street. I don't know what it is with people and me on the street. Like, I was carrying this bag that says women and girls need.
You're an approachable person. I'll tell you what it is about.
Yeah, but it's like I was carrying this bag that says women and girls lead. So I'm on Hoover and 36, and I'm about to cross this, or it's Vermont and 36, something like that. It's across from the engineering school because that's where I used to teach. And she literally grabs me, and I have one foot on this pavement and one on the cement, and she takes me by the collar of my jacket, and she's like, I have a daughter. She's 11, but she's really into soccer. I'm like, what's wrong with that? That's awesome. AYSL girls is huge. Like, soccer for girls is massive. Like, what are you saying? And she's like, no, but like, I wanted to do more. And I'm in the psychology department here. And da da da. And she's like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm doing, you know, engineering and gaming. And da, da, da. She's like, literally, she takes me and she pulls me like really like this. And she goes, you need to teach my daughter how to code this summer. And I was like, okay. Universe, like, white flag. I surrender. Between the White House and all these people, I'm like, okay, so that's technically how Wiz Girls Academy was born.
And
I was not planning any of it, but we've done, I can't believe it's been 10 years of doing the hackathons, originally with the White House a lot, and obviously Mayor Garcetti and Will.i.am and all the things. Yeah.
That's incredible. So you've had a really busy week this week. You were telling me before we got on air. I know now we understand it. Playwork's kind of the platform, the holding company, so to speak, right? So there's all kinds of variations and productizations and different things that come to play off of Playwork.
Yeah.
WizGirls is one. So our audience can get like kind of excited about things to come, and we'll talk about it at the very end, how people can connect with you and find you, or they can support you or partner with you. So what's coming now? What is the next year look like? What does the next couple projects look like?
That's a great question. So my goal is to build, like I said, a lifestyle brand for girls and tech for Wiz Girls specifically, but I want to do stuff for boys and preschool and everything I used to do as well. So that's more to come. But for now, focused on Wiz Girls as the lifestyle tech brand. So Wiz Girls Academy, the goal is to scale to the next level because I want to take myself out of the equation of doing the hackathons personally, but also teacher trainings and licensing curriculum and those things so we can move forward. And most recently, about 2 weeks ago, I launched a speaker series for the NASA NIFTY program. And we had our first speaker, which was an astronaut. She was amazing. And we have some really awesome speakers coming. And we decided to turn that into a podcast for Wiz Girls Academy. So that's
awesome.
One thing that we're going to be launching probably in October for officially on Apple and Spotify. So you can look out for it there.
I'm going to inject something, just shout out so I don't forget, because we have a lot of listeners that are across Latin America, a lot in Mexico specifically because of a lot of relationships that I have there. If anybody in our universe here knows or can help, there's a very prominent, the first ever Mexican woman astronaut who's in the space program. I don't think she's gone to space yet, but she's in the space program and I'll find her and send it to you afterwards. But hey, if you don't already know her, if anybody in our audience does know her, that would be an awesome relationship to help make, is help Shireen find this young Mexican astronaut or future astronaut for this speaker series. Cause I've noticed a lot on social media this last year and a half, she's been speaking, doing a lot of speaking engagements around Mexico, obviously, right? Inspiring children and young people and stuff like that. So that was just off the top of mind, something that, hey, people, if you can help us, if anybody knows their.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I feel like there's a couple of them that I know, but I'm not sure which one you're talking about. But yeah, that would be awesome. So the NIFTY speaker series for NASA is getting girls in underserved communities interested in space and NASA and, all the things, engineering, astronaut, all the things. And then I put a twist on it because I wanted to fulfill their thing, but I also wanted to bring women in tech and engineering and other communities, right? So we actually just had a bunch of my dear friends, obviously you can see on social media, on the show, but also I reached out to Cody Sanchez. I don't know if you know who she is, but she's amazing. She's got a million followers on Instagram and she was just on Tony Robbins. She's a very young, I think 20-something investor, buys companies, all the things. And she said she would love to come be on the show. So I'm really excited to host her in a couple weeks. And so that's the power of, reach out to people. You never know. I don't know her. I just reached out cold and I said, look, I'm doing the speaker series. It's a volunteer thing for NASA and underserved kids. And this is my background. And I would love to, have you share your story with our audience and the girls. And she was like, sure, I would love that. So yeah.
I love it. What would be, because you are the queen of manifestation, as you have clearly explained already in your journey, what's a crazy manifestation of project or something that you would love to see happen under the Playworks banner, in the next couple of years?
I think you know what it is, but I can't really talk about it because I think the first iteration didn't come through very well and that kind of fell apart. And that's ultimately what the goal is. And I think we're going to get there because it's just timing and the right people.
We're going to have you back on a future episode to do a what's up now version. And then we'll talk about it then when you successfully break through.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. So I feel like my cycles have been 9 months in the past, but I feel like with this one and some other things, it hasn't been 9 months. And I'm like, how do I get back? Okay, 9 months is awesome. I can handle it. I'll just keep meeting. How do I get back to that?
Well, and it's such a, so part of it is, I mean, you and I know life's a long game, right? And so cyclical changes, sociocultural moves, all that kind of stuff. It happens and then it fades away, as we talked about with the female superhero characters from 25 years ago. And then it comes back, right? And we're in kind of, I feel like we're in a moment now that isn't just going to be like a summer moment. It's going to be probably an era of a handful of years of women's sports and women iconography in film and television and in storytelling. And so hopefully the universe is rising to meet you in this moment so that you can seize it and you can do all these amazing things that are so impactful. It's funny, I want to touch on it because you mentioned it a few times, and I'm sure there are some listeners that'll find it an interesting, not a detour, but kind of probably just like a complimentary side road to your Yellow Book road. But you taught, or you have taught, you're not teaching currently, but you have taught at USC. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was teaching at USC for 5 years, which I still can't believe because it's nothing I ever planned. And like I said, when my boss at Mattel kept saying, oh, you need a PhD or a master's to teach, I was kind of laughing at him like, oh, when am I ever going to teach? Like, are you kidding? Like, although I got to say, I actually did teach preschool at Stephen S. Wise my last years in college. So that was kind of an accident as well. I didn't plan, but apparently I have a teaching thing as well. I don't know. Like, I was doing summer camps there for a while, and then they were like, well, we have an opening. You're really good with the kids. Why don't you just do it? And I was like, I'm still going to college. And they're like, no, we need you. And then I ended up getting
sent. You're a good communicator, and you're passionate about helping people grow. Like, that's an obvious trait that I've seen in our friendship. So what did you teach at USC? What class?
So I was teaching Tech for Social Impact for 5 years at the engineering school. And that kind of, like I said, happened accidentally. Originally, they wanted me to teach in the gaming program at the film school. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable because we're not launched on the games yet. And I really want to focus on that. So let's put a pin in it. And then the engineering department found out about me and they were like, we need more women, obviously, in engineering and role models and what have you. And originally they were like, why don't you teach marketing to engineers? And I was like, okay, interesting. But I'm like, that's kind of boring. I don't know. Like, and they were like, okay, you know what? Give us something new. Cause I was like, I don't know about this brand marketing, whatever, to engineer. Like, it's just kind of, I don't know. It was like, it's not sexy to me. I don't know. Like, if it doesn't work for me, I don't know if I can share it. Like, teach that.
Yeah.
So I said, what about social entrepreneurship? You know, because Pepperdine has a huge program. So I was telling my boss at the time, and also I talked to the dean. I'm pretty close to the dean there still, Dean Yannis. And they were like, okay, yeah, that sounds really good. Give us a syllabus. And I'm like, oh my God, I just opened a can of worms. Like, that's like more work than I ever imagined on top of everything else.
You're like, I was thinking I could teach a class in it. I wasn't going to like build the entire college of social impact entrepreneurship at USC.
Yeah. So that's actually what happened. So when my class went live, a USC Marshall found out about it and they bumped up their whole program because my class went live.
Wow.
And it became like a whole thing. And I was like, I'm getting pushed in because I was the only one that was like kind of like the, you know, being a Libra, I guess that's the thing of being like diplomatic and political. Like, I got invited to the gaming program at the film school, but these departments don't talk to each other. They don't like each other. It's like a thing. I was like the girl that, you know, was Marshall and engineering and Viterbi and like all the things. Like,
You're the catalyst. You were the lightning rod for change for what they all now, 2023, have to do and do. Right. And they know, but back then they knew they had to do it, but they didn't know how to do it. Right. And
yeah.
they didn't have people equipped to do it. And it was what you basically have been born to do from a very early age, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's funny because people call me from the future. And I got to say, I think that's kind of true because like I started talking about STEM in 2005 when I was still working on Bratz. Back then, I was like seeing the light and being open. And now it's really cool because Will.i.am's talking about STEM and like everyone's talking about STEM. But I was like talking about STEM and everyone thought I was nuts. Again, like the whole, you know, toy tester thing. They were like, what's wrong with you? There's no money in education. We don't do education. We do toys. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
I'm telling you, it's one of the aspects of this show that I'm most committed to and proud of. And I don't care if it means like we build a slower audience over a longer period of time, but to me, the insights into the human story, the actual story behind the people who are behind the things that are the movements or the products or the services of the companies is what matters, because it's only when you really dive in and listen to you go back and tie it all together that you can see so many things, but about you, like how clearly you were meant to do this, but about just say like important trends or important social movements, like how really long they are in unfolding, like in our societies, And yet, you know, in the X Twitterverse or whatever we call it now, like, you know, we seem to fall in love with the notion that everything is only like no older than like 6 months ago and no further forward than like 3 months from now. And that's just not life. I always say that and I sound like the okay old boomer guy, right? So when you listen just to your story as like just one human indicator of the length of time things take to unfold, it's so true. Cause like you weren't talking about something that wasn't relevant or didn't matter back then. You were talking about it was just as relevant and just as important back then. And there were even points of inspiration for you, Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, right? The original, that like now we're going back into the 80s and the 70s. And so that these things have been around. It's this long arc of history, right? We're going to turn you into the mentor for the day. So you get to be the mentor now to anybody that's listening, right? And it's about whatever it is you want to talk about. Give us three pieces of advice for our audience before we close out.
All right. Well, okay. So here's a couple of things. One is, I think everyone on this planet has a purpose and a mission. And when you find out what that is, it's never handed to you on a silver platter, but you have to work for it. Like I just said in my journey, right? And it's still going. It's never perfect. It's never, you know, there's a lot of things that behind the scenes are crazy and I could never imagine, but still you keep going, right? So I think it's really important to know who you are, what your purpose is, and why you are super passionate about it and what makes you tick, because when it going gets hard and tough, you got to keep pushing through. And I remember Mike Bonin, when he gave me this Pioneer Woman Award, said that I am literally kicking the walls open for the next generation. So I really think that you have to be at that point. Obviously, you don't know how passionate you are until you figure out what that is that makes you tick. So I think that's where you start. Like, so focus on what was your childhood hobby? What was something that really made you excited about life? And that's one thing you should really work on in the future for yourself. The second thing is you will obviously get millions of naysayers like I did, and I still do. And I still keep like, you say no, I'll go in the back door. I'll go in the window. Like, I'll be like, hello, remember me? Like, you know, you gotta do that. That's grit. That's persistence. That's like, hey, if you really truly want something, I mean, the universe will test you, but you still gotta keep going no matter what. And yes, of course, I've had my days, of course, of like, oh, I don't know if I can do this anymore. It's really freaking hard. Like, that's the human stuff. So that's number two. Number three is, you know, the whole thing, when you build it, they will come. That whole thing with Field of Dreams. I feel like I've done that, but as the futurist, and like, you will get that too. Like, it goes back to like, you just got to keep persisting. And I think this helped when I found out that it took Elon Musk 18 years to make SpaceX work, with the like, you know, explosions in his face and like money dropping and he was broke and, you know, couch surfing, all the things. Like, when I found that out, I was like, if he can do it, and again, he's a guy, I can do it too. It doesn't matter. I don't look at him as a guy. I look at him as an innovator, a future, like all the things that are phenomenally, like he's really changed the world in so many ways. And that quote, be the change you wish to see in the world, really helps to make that kind of come full circle. So I think it's like, again, time is not clear of when things will happen. Something can happen like this tomorrow. Something can happen like I'll go outside and meet someone. You know, I told you stories about people I've met randomly in grocery stores that I signed to do things with. That like, it's just like a thing. But like, you just got to keep going. I think that's the biggest thing.
It's awesome. It's encouragement for a young student. It's encouragement for an entrepreneur. It's an encouragement for a new entrepreneur. It's an encouragement for a long time, multiple time entrepreneur. It's encouragement for people who just fashion themselves to be leaders. That's fundamentally, your advice is backed up by your story. And I, like, that's the beauty of it. Like, you just gave three pieces of advice that basically just were like little validation check marks for like, hey, by the way, everything I just told you is an example of what I just am encouraging you to see in yourself. All right, so that's awesome. All right, so how do we find you? How do we find you and or the platform or the company or whatever, however you want people to find you, tell us now.
Good question. So social media is great. I'm very active on Instagram, like you said. I'm active on LinkedIn, but not as much as I used to be, but still there. Like you mentioned earlier, I did sign on to do the North advising, and I'm excited about that because that's part of giving back for me and also helping others. And I'm doing a myriad of things there, like market research, branding, like all the things you can check out.
And on Instagram, it's your account name is your name?
Yeah, it's at Shireen Solemnia. Yeah, not my middle name, but just, yeah. You see, my picture is me as a dragon because I'm Chinese New Year dragon. So.
it's been awesome. Thank you, first of all, for spending some time with me. You've had a really busy week. You've been doing interviews of your own. So you've been sitting on this side of the mic most of the week. And I know what that means because you got to be prepared and you got to do the homework. But I'm grateful for just everything you shared. Again, we've known each other for years and we talked a lot, and you've been kind enough to like trust me to talk about some really personal, like deep, like let me figure out some life stuff together. So I felt like I knew a lot about you, but now I know a lot about you. And I'm grateful for the chance to share that with everybody else because you're awesome. You are a wonderful person. You are an incredibly determined, as I said before, indefatigable human. I think about you and it's like, you just happen to be a woman. But you're such an advocate for women and for equality and for all the things that our society needs, as am I, but it's also like, you're just you. You're an advocacy for fairness and equality for everybody and for possibilities and access for everybody. And the things you're doing with Playworks, I just think are awesome. I don't care like what level of it is yet or where it's going to be in the future versus where it could be and all the frustrations we have as entrepreneurs. It's not there yet. Like, it's there. Like, you're doing good in the world every day, and you've been apparently doing good in the world for, the last 25 years or so. So just keep it up. Thank you. Thanks for the time. And everybody, please go follow her and like her and connect with her. And if you want to partner with her, partner with her. If you want to invest in her, please, God, invest in her. Give her the power to be able to do more of this stuff that she's doing, because this is exactly in the world that we say we want change and we want better and we want to build a better future and a more sustainable, environment and society. Like, exactly the work that Shireen is doing is the stuff that we should be investing in if that's really what we want. So thanks, buddy.
That's so true. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Rob. This was awesome. Thank you for sharing my story. Thank you for the platform and all that you do. And I'm sure that a lot of people have been really like changed. This is life changing for them, like that you started this podcast and all the things that you do for mentors. So you keep up the good work too. It's phenomenal.
I will. Thanks, bud. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles and produced by Deanna Bernal in Mexico City. You can always find, like, follow, subscribe, and share our show via any popular podcasting platform, as well as find us on social media at Mentors Today. And if you'd like to connect with our host, you can find Rob at I Am Rob Ryan on just about any social media platform. Gracias, and thank you.